In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst. Today, from the seventh Sunday of Luke, we hear again a familiar passage from the Gospel, at least from Luke, about yet two more healings that were the gift of an interaction between two different individuals and our Lord. And we have in all of our liturgical services a connection between the epistle and the gospel, and even the scripture that we read from the gospels in the morning orthros. There's 11 different gospel passages, and as I say all the time, nothing is done, nothing is presented, nothing is expressed or experienced in our Orthodox faith and liturgical life randomly. There's a connection between everything that we do, whether it be in our services, whether it be the scriptures we read, the services that we hold during the liturgical cycle throughout the year. So we first hear from Paul's letter to the church in Galatia, to Galatians. And Paul, as he does in all his epistles, begins by, if you will, establishing his credentials, because it was necessary for Paul, as we know from his life and from his conversion in the book of Acts, we know from Paul that he formerly was a persecutor of the Christians. In fact, St. Stephen, he participated in the stoning of St. Stephen, the first martyr, as we know him as the of the church. So Paul had a conversion experience. And so Paul, as each community that was established by the Holy Spirit through the words and the hands of Paul, he established his credentials, as we hear and we read in these letters. And he says, "Brethren, I would have you know that the gospel which was preached by me is not man's gospel." And we know gospel, we've heard this especially in our Greek Orthodox and in our Orthodox tradition, the Evangelion, it means the good news. The good news meaning Jesus Christ. And all that he brought and taught and preached and witnessed and shared with those when he became man, when he was born and lived amongst his creation, the good news of salvation. And so Paul's telling them, because there had been an issue there in this church about people that were preaching a false gospel. And so Paul says, this wasn't my gospel. It's not man's gospel. The gospel that was preached by me was not something that I received. I did not receive it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church. And then he says, and I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my own people. So you say you were perfect in the law. I was even more perfect. I was better than you, as Paul's telling them, in following the law. Because he says he was extremely zealous. But he goes on, he says, but when he who had set me apart before I was born and had called me through his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia. Now there's a whole other sermon here about his travels into Arabia, going into the desert and not just going on vacation or getting away from what he was doing, but truly going to commune with the Lord, going into silence. We talk about that before in Hesychia and Hesychasm. We'll talk about that coming up in a few months. So he went off into Arabia. He went off to be prepared to commune with the Lord. So he understood just decades before this, not 100 years or 500 years or 2,000 years as we have, but just decades before, when our Lord was here, was there on the earth, he understood what the Lord was telling his apostles and what was handed down to him. And what, more importantly, he received in this revelation of Jesus Christ, in his conversion experience, about grace, about faith, about works of the law. Works of the law. He understood these things, and he wanted his flock. He wanted the people who he brought this deposit of faith, just as I said, decades that were handed down decades before. He wanted them to understand and to live this truth that Jesus Christ brought about grace and faith, and not works of the law, but the fruits of grace and faith, which were good works, as he goes on and he explains later, and James speaks about later. He speaks about and he talks about throughout this epistle being justified by faith in Christ, as it says, but it's better translated. It's better translated by saying the faith of Christ, faith in Christ, which necessarily, or which implies something that is an action on our part. It's faith of Christ. What is this faith of Christ? What is this faith? What is the truth? And this is what Paul goes on to explain to those who are in this church and other churches in his other letters, that Christ was the conqueror of death by his death. In Christ, all creation was made new. In union with Jesus Christ, by becoming one with him, as he says later in Galatians, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So he's saying, and hopefully people are understanding, that it's not the works of the law. You'll never get there. You'll never be able to be good enough through your own works, through your own following of the law of Moses. It is union with Christ that you should be seeking, that you should, that you must, to receive the gift of eternal life. You must understand and accept, and you must move towards. You must reach out, as we will hear in just a moment, and touch Jesus, even the hem of his garment. You must reach out, and you must invite him into your home, as Jairus did, for that healing. Or reach out and touch the hem of his garment, even the hem of his garment, as the woman who was hemorrhaging for 12 years, as we heard, did. This distinguishes between the false gospels that were being preached, even in those days, and even in these days today, the false gospel. Paul is warning. Paul is pleading even with his flock to be careful about false gospels. And then we move into the gospel, the gospel from Luke that we heard in these two miracles, that first, that these miracles oftentimes took place in secret or without other people knowing, such as this woman. No one knew it. Our Lord knew it, but no one else knew this. And even Jairus, about his daughter, he went into the house, and only, as we read, only the family was there, not other people. So our Lord was interacting with with these individuals. It wasn't something that occurred through a distraction for him, even though there was lots of things going on around. There was a deep, personal, direct connection between our Lord and between these individuals. And we know that in both cases, there was not just an interaction, But there was a touching, an encounter, an actual, in the case of the woman, an actual touching of his garment. Or in the case of Jairus, the encounter with Jairus and with his family that our Lord expressed. Again, faith and trust in Christ by these two individuals, or in these two instances, led to a union and communion with him. The gospel that we talk about can be summarized and was summarized by a commentator in this way. God sent his son. He suffered and died for the benefit of all humankind. He was raised from the dead and is now in heaven in his glory. He will return again. Those who belong to him, will live forever, eternally. And that we who are here on this earth awaiting his second and glorious return must live by the highest ethical standards. In other words, we live our lives according to the manner in which he exhibited and expressed to us, with love, with respect and love and mercy and compassion for each other. This is the summary of the gospel. And so we hear in this message today that Christ offers to this woman and to Jairus and his family, to his daughter, life itself. First of all, he says here, and we hear in other places, he doesn't say you or this person. He says, daughter, your faith has made you well. In other cases, son, or Zacchaeus, or Jairus. He knows them by name, and he refers to them as who they are, sons and daughters, made and created in his image and likeness. He knows, and he speaks to each and every one of us as his sons and his daughters. Our Heavenly Father, God the Father, is not just someone who is out here, someone else's father. He is our Father. We are his sons and his daughters. We are his creation. We are uniquely created with his divine love. This is personal to each and every one of us. So this woman reaches out to Christ and she touches the hem of his garment. And again, Jairus invites him or brings him into his home to heal his daughter. And so we take from this gospel three things. And not just from this gospel, but this epistle from Paul as well. Do we have faith in Christ, or do we have our faith and put our faith and our hopes and our desires and all these things in something or someone else? The world would offer to us so many different things or so many different people to put our faith in. But the question is, do we have our faith in Jesus Christ? The wounds that we have, and we all have wounds, physical, of course, but spiritual and emotional, absolutely. We all have those. Do we carry these around? Do we seek out healing? We spend great effort and time and focus on our physical healing, whether it be through preventative measures or whether it be through medicine or prescriptions or all these different things to be healed physically. And this is a good thing. We all want to be feeling well. We all want to be physically healed. But it doesn't happen for us in all instances and in all cases. It is inevitable that in this world, as we live, we will also die. But there's the emotional and there's the spiritual aspect of that. And again, Paul speaks about this when he talks about eternal life. But it is the emotional, the spiritual healing that we should be devoting our effort and our time and our lives to. Third, religious observances that impede our focus and our trust in Christ. Are these things, and are these the time and effort that we devote ourselves to, as Paul says, the works of the law? Do we allow form over substance to be our guiding force in our life? Do we focus on the religious observances or even cultural observances in our lives that distract us from focusing on Christ and from seeking a deeper, abiding, fulfilling, saving life in Christ? These are what Paul speaks about, and this is what the message of the gospel is, for us to be ultimately and fully and completely and daily seeking the healing, seeking union and communion with Jesus Christ. So may our Lord and Savior, may our Lord and Savior, the healer of our souls and bodies, may, as he comes to us, may we recognize this. May we reach out and touch even the hem of his garment. May we invite him into the homes of our lives so that we too may be fully and completely healed by him. Amen.